football.
Kim, let's kick off in Rwanda, where we've reached the quarterfinal stage at the African Nations Championship football tournament. Our Voice of America listeners will remember this competition, also called CHAN, is for locally based players in Africa. So European-based stars like 2015 African Footballer of the Year, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Gabon, who's based in Germany, are not eligible. And speaking of Gabon, the Gabonese did not impress in Rwanda. They finished on the bottom of Group A, playing a scoreless draw against Morocco and losing to Ivory Coast and host Rwanda. The Rwandans are one of eight teams in action this weekend. Mark Ouma runs down the quarterfinal matchups for us.
Hosts Rwanda play the Democratic Republic of Congo in the Orange African Nations Championship quarterfinals at the Amahoro National Stadium in the capital Kigali tomorrow Saturday. Then Cameroon engage Ivory Coast at the Huye Stadium in Butare, some 140 kilometers south of Kigali. On Sunday, Tunisia encounter Mali at the Nyamirambo Stadium in Kigali before Zambia face Guinea at the Umganda Stadium in Gishenyi, some 160 kilometers northwest of Kigali.
Meanwhile, in Kigali, the Amavubi, or Wasps of Rwanda, will surely enjoy the support of a big partisan crowd when they play the 2009 CHAN champion, the Democratic Republic of Congo. So says our African football guru, David Legge.
We've got two potential humdingers coming up on Saturday. In the first match, and it will be played in Kigali at the Amahoro Stadium, and it's a stadium that's going to be full to its 30,000 capacity, whether it's sun or rain. It'll be Rwanda against the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, by a strange twist of fate, these sides met in a warm-up match of the tournament in Gisenyi, and the Rwandans won 1-0. And afterwards, the Rwandan coach, Johnny McKinstry, was saying, "The match was in Rwanda, but it felt like we were playing in the DR Congo." And the reason for that, Sonny, is Gisenyi is right on the border with the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the Congolese flooded across the border to support their team. And they turned the Rwandan venue basically into a Congolese venue. Now, that will not happen in Kigali, I'm sure. We're going to see thousands and thousands of Rwandans at the Amahoro Stadium. And the Rwandans have got a bit of catching up to do now, because after two victories in Group A, they took a 4-1 drubbing from Morocco in the final match. What McKinstry did is he decided to rest most of his star players, including the likes of Bayisenge, Irani, the midfielder, and Tuisenge, the captain and the winger. And he gave his reserves a trial. And Morocco, who are fighting for their lives, just outclassed the Rwandans. So what that has revealed to me is while Rwanda have got a very competitive first 11, it looks, Sonny, as if they may not have great depth to their squad. Morocco won 4-1. It could have been 6 or 7-1 by the final whistle. And a really bad day for the Rwandans all around. The rain lashed down, a lot of drenched spectators. And then on top of that, you had this goal deluge, but it was coming from the Moroccans and not the Rwandans. Second place in Group A went to Ivory Coast. They finished 4-1 winners over Gabon. The Ivorians only needed a draw. The Gabonese had to win. At one stage, it was 1-1, but then the Ivorians took over. And they're a sight to watch, Sonny, because after their initial match, which they lost 1-0 to Rwanda, they've had two good wins. They beat Morocco, and now this convincing victory over Gabon. On to Group D. And the winners there were Cameroon. They beat DRC 3-1. And they will be at home in the quarterfinals in Butare in the south of the country on Saturday against Ivory Coast. And they're potentially another great match. Two sides very much in form. Cameroon taking advantage of the fact that the Congolese rested a lot of their players, especially those who had yellow cards from previous matches. And Etuba is looking like a very impressive midfielder. He's won three consecutive Man of the Match awards, the only player to do that so far in the competition. And he is deadly from free kicks. He's got a lethal left foot. He knows how to curl that ball either around or over the walls and past goalkeepers. So he's certainly one to watch. The Ivorians are very much a team. They don't have the individual stars like Yaya Toure, who plays for the Cup of Nations squad. The Ivorians rely on their teamwork, and if you look at their goal scorers, the goals are coming from various players. So Sunny, on Saturday in Kigali, Rwanda against DR Congo. And in Butare, it's Cameroon against Ivory Coast. And please don't ask me to forecast the winners of those two matches. It's too hazardous.
All right, David. We won't ask for a weekend forecast. That's David Legg, our African football guru. Taking a quick look at the top goal scorers in Rwanda, Ahmed Akachi of Tunisia and Chizom Chikatara of Nigeria are the joint top scorers with 4 goals each. Akachi could add to his total this weekend since the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia are taking on the Eagles of Mali Sunday in Kigali. But Chikatara's tournament is over since the Super Eagles of Nigeria were eliminated on Tuesday by Guinea 1-0. After the quarterfinals this weekend, the remaining matches in Rwanda will take place in the capital, Kigali. The semifinals are scheduled for February 3rd and February 4th, and the third place match and final for February 7th. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte here to remind you that February is Black History Month in the United States. And starting Monday, February 1st, we will begin our Black History Month series and daily quiz on Daybreak Africa. Listen every morning as we profile historical African American and African individuals and events. You can win special VOA goodies by answering one of our daily Black History questions. Please send your answers to DaybreakAfrica at voanews.com. You can also call us on 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, select the number 25 to leave us your answer.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Britain's Andy Murray reached his 5th Australian Open men's final on Friday when he beat Canada's Milos Raonic in 5 sets. The final score from Melbourne Park, 4-6, 7-5, 6-7, 6-4, and 6-2. Andy Murray has 2 Grand Slam singles titles on his resume, Wimbledon in 2013 and the U.S. Open in 2012. But he's never lifted the trophy down under in Australia. And the Scotsman now has the daunting task of taking on world number one and defending champion Novak Djokovic of Serbia in the final. Djokovic, bidding for a 6th Australian Open championship, has never lost a title match at Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne. And 3 of Djokovic's wins in Australia have come in the finals against his old friend, Andy Murray. In Murray's words, talking about Djokovic, he loves playing on this court. We've played a bunch of times here. Hopefully, it can be a different result on Sunday. Andy Murray has had a lot on his mind in Australia, in addition to Novak Djokovic. Murray's wife, Kim, is back in Britain and due to have their first baby next month. And Murray also had some worries about Kim's father, Nigel Sears, who was in Melbourne as coach for Anna Ivanovic and had to be rushed to a hospital during one of her matches. Sears spent a night in the hospital and Murray visited him, and he was cleared by doctors to return home. Meanwhile, as I said on Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports, it's looking like deja vu down under in Australia. The defending champion in women's singles, Serena Williams, is like Djokovic, only one victory away from another title in Melbourne. Serena will be the favorite when she plays seventh-seeded German Angelique Kerber in the women's final this weekend. If Serena wins her seventh Australian Open singles title, she'll tie the now-retired German Steffi Graf with 22 Grand Slam championships, the most by any player, male or female, in the modern era. And while David Legg didn't want to make a forecast about that football tournament in Rwanda, I'll serve up this prediction about the tennis action in Australia. Look for Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams to repeat as champions this weekend at Melbourne Park. You heard it here first, Sunny Side of Sports fans. I mentioned February 7th as the date of the African Nations Championship football final in Kigali, Rwanda. On that same day, in American-style pro football, the Carolina Panthers will play the Denver Broncos in Super Bowl 50, one of the most watched sporting events here in the United States. The big game will be played in Santa Clara, California, and in advance of the Super Bowl, hundreds of workers have been painting, planting grass, and wiring Levi's Stadium for the contest. The state-of-the-art stadium is where the San Francisco 49ers in the National Football League play their home games. The stadium features solar panels and a green roof with vegetation covering a waterproof membrane. Super Bowl 50 will be broadcast all over the world. And if you want to air some advertisements during the game, well, you better have a good